Welcome, hearty souls. Good afternoon. I'm Mike Herhold, president of the First Friday Club of Greater Akron, and I would like to thank you for coming on this cold day and welcome you on behalf of myself and the board to our January 5th program. Our special speaker for today is Sister Catherine Walsh. Please silence your cell phones so that we can all enjoy today's program. On your tables, you will find white cards on which you can write questions for our speakers. After the talk, we will have a short announcement break to collect those cards and then have a question and answer session. And we see that Sister brought quite a large fan club with her today. Much larger than we usually get for just individual, for local individuals. So she's already has groupies. So we know there'll be a positive reception. So we need to tell her to calm down, and she'll be fine. She always is. I'd like to introduce a longtime friend of First Friday Club, Mary Lou Schwartz, who will offer our opening prayer.
Good afternoon. Let us bow our heads. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, may your goodness and love be present among us today. Come bless our gathering with unity, hope, and vision. Lord, we pray for unity. Build in us all a deep respect for one another so that your church may be one. Lord, we pray for hope. Come stir your hope within our hearts and renew our faith. May your vision fill our lives as we seek to reveal your love. Lord, we pray for vision. Bless this food we have shared today and those who prepared it. Lord, we pray for blessings. We ask all this in the glorious name of Jesus. Amen. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Mary Lou. Now, it's my pleasure, and I'm not going to give a bio because so many people know her. All I'm going to mention is that Sister has, of course, given a life of service to us and the church and her religious order, of course. So I would just like to introduce Sister Catherine Walsh.
Good afternoon. And thank you for coming out on this cold day. Before I begin, I'd like to meet some of what he called the fan club. First of all, the Sisters of Charity of St. Augustine, of which I'm a member, and the Dominican Sisters of Peace in Akron, where I live right now for a couple of days. Those who are Catholic workers, I would like you to please stand up. Whatever it is that you're a Catholic worker, or day or week or whatever, please stand, and you're going to see that there are many Catholic workers within this room today. Thank you all. Lest I forget, there is a couple of newsletters out front, and there is a handout, quotes from Dorothy Day. And Dorothy Day is in the process of looking into canonization. Then there is a guild, and I don't have information on that, but it's already on the website. It's the Guild for the Canonization of Dorothy Day. So I hope you become a member. It really doesn't cost very much. You get a good newsletter, and it's showing, if you are interested in the process, what it's doing is showing the Vatican that there's interest here in the United States. Okay. I'd like to, and the people that are very close to the Catholic worker, Sandra one of them here, and Angela, and stand up. Okay. They are board members and helping us in a thousand different ways. And we thank you. There are many ways to be a Catholic worker, as you can see. I have been as a Catholic worker for the last 20 years, but there are many other ways of being a Catholic worker. And as you know, nobody ever does anything alone, right? There's always so many other people. What I'd like to do today is just talk a little bit about the roots of Catholic worker. That's probably not as much known. What is known mostly is the care and hospitality we give to the homeless. And that is a very important part, practicing spiritual and corporal works of mercy. But there is also, it has deep roots in the church and in philosophy. And that goes back to France with Emmanuel Maurier, which was 1905 to 1950, when he articulated the ideas of personalism, of human persons whose responsibility is to take an active role in history, even while the ultimate goal is beyond the temporal and beyond human history. He articulated this as a philosophy of engagement in the world and of personalism, inseparable from the divine as destiny and as the end of human life. Many people, Catholic worker in particular, have found in the personalism of the Catholic worker movement a new vision and a way of life, a way to simply live the gospel and their Catholic faith, and a model for the communitarian and personal, nonviolent, peaceful revolution to change the world and change the social order. Most religious communities are out to change the social order and change the world, and so is the Catholic worker movement, and of course the church in general. Sometimes discouraged about the possibility of making any changes in our world, they have found in Peter Morin and Dorothy Day people who are examples, witnesses to a vital, lively faith and holiness, which translates into hospitality for the poorest of the poor, and all the works of mercy into work for peace, not waiting for or expecting the government or other agency structures to ponderously begin to do something, but who simply try to act as Jesus did, or as Jesus asks his followers to do in the Sermon on the Mount. Peter Morin introduced personalism and the ideas of Emmanuel to Dorothy Day and to the Catholic worker movement. As Dorothy said, he brought ideas and great people together so that over the years we have become a school for the service of God here and now. However, Peter Morin first brought the saints, especially Francis of Assisi, Saint Benedict, and their examples and their life to the people, and held them up as models. Peter Morin knew that Emmanuel Maurier was bringing together the best of personalism ideas from the history and theology of the church for the present century. And one of the things they talk when they talk about Dorothy Day is they say she's a saint for our times. They wrote extensively on profit over labor, thus ignoring the dignity and needs of the worker. The priority of profit flowed from the capitalistic system, since the person is subordinate to consumption. Consumption, in turn, is subordinate to production, and production to profit, speculation. And the person is pretty much ignored. Dorothy Day always credited Peter Morin for the roots and spirituality of the Catholic worker movement. Peter Morin was a Christian brother who left the Christian Brothers, immigrated to Canada, and then came across the border. For those of us engaged with undocumented immigrants, we have a good patron saint in Peter Morin. And I just found out that I looked for my father's entrance into the United States. He spent some time in Chicago and couldn't find any entrance. So I think that he went to Canada and also came back into the United States. So I can look to him, too, as undocumented. Although he never told us that part of his story. Peter worked as a laborer, including a stint in Akron. He went around, and whoever would listen to him, he called it indoctrinating, which we might call catechesis or giving knowledge, anyone who would listen. And since Peter had a very heavy accent and never got over that accent, there were a lot of people who just didn't understand what he was saying. But Dorothy Day was the listener that implemented Peter's ideas, and to bring her own perspective, her literary background, and her radical commitment to the movement to make it happen. Otherwise, there would be no Catholic Worker. Peter Morin read and studied deeply. He summarized his thoughts in a literary style he called easy essays. If ever you come across his easy essays, and they kind of rhyme, they say a lot, although they're very simple. And he would take an idea, he would read extensively, and then he put it into one small easy essays. They are worth reading and pondering. Peter Morin and Dorothy Day met on December 8, 1932, and the Catholic Worker began in 1933. I'll say a little more about Dorothy Day and Peter Morin later. It started as a newspaper, first distributed on May 1st at the Communist Rally in New York. It was a penny a copy, and it's a penny a copy today. We have a kind of very small newsletter, and there's some copies out front. Personalism is central to Catholic Worker, though thought and acting. That is, the primacy of Christian love should be brought from its position of limbo or private spirituality, where human affairs are concerned, and infused into the process of history and into human beings. Every process, political, financial, daily life, and how we choose to live our life is brought to the fore. Emphasis is placed on community, sharing, being with or accompanying persons who are in need, those who are marginalized in any way. For a personalist, it's unthinkable that life, freedom, and economics could be separated from responsibility, ethics, and spiritual values. Love, rather than individualism, is the answer. But it's love in action. Now, what has all this got to do with now and with our lives? There's one cite just a few, using somewhat different language, but the same ideas and commitment found in liberation theology. Also in the peace movement around the globe, actions of nonviolent protest, and there are many examples. Gandhi, of course, is one of the ones that we know best. The ideas are brought into union, labor unions, the World Federation of Agriculture, any movement that puts persons as central, above profit, are putting into action the ideas of personalism. Where is the Catholic Worker? Catholic Worker is in the USA, mostly, England, Australia, Germany, and at any time around the world, there are Catholic Workers that are jailed because we still believe that each of us is responsible for who we are and how we are, and responsible to our brothers and sisters throughout the globe. We're responsible as how they're treated, no matter where we live or no matter where they live. And I'm sure that's not new to most of you in this room. A few words about Dorothy Day. She died in 1980, many of us in here can remember that. She left behind a vast collection of writings, retreat notes, books, etc. And the memories of people that knew her. She was then and is now regarded as the most influential person in American modern history and in the American church, both within the church and society. She lived what she wrote. She was raised financially poor, surrounded by books and literature. No religion was practiced, although the family regarded themselves as Anglican. She found an old Bible in the attic and that she read alone. She later wrote that she longed for and searched for God all her life. Her adolescent and youth was one of searching, wandering, looking for love, acceptance, and identity, and often in the wrong places. And that's her words. Yet she was haunted and hounded by God. And those are her words too. Ultimately, she gave up the man she loved and loved all her life, so that she and her daughter Tamara would be baptized in the Catholic Church. She came to the Catholic Church not from any theology or big stuff, but rather from example of a woman that was her neighbor, a woman who was prayerful and raising her family. Day's search continued as she found God in the streets among the destitute, homeless, men out of work, and no hope for supporting their families. She farmed soup lines, invited them into her home, and later into houses of hospitality for food, shelter, and care. Now, Dorothy did not ask for any money from any agency or government. She asked for donations. She was often threatened with closure, often threatened with turning off the gas and the heat, and sometimes that happened, and she always seemed to be able to scrounge up enough to keep that from happening. She did not, like I said, she did not ask for any help from the government because she felt that it's the duty and the responsibility of those who have to share with those who do not have. And she never took any money from anybody that she felt that money was earned on the backs of the poor. She never wanted a 501c3 status and always paid taxes. Dorothy so strongly believed that all people are God's children and that she was willing to stand valiantly against all the horrific wars that occurred during her lifetime. She was a lonely person. And in fact, her book is called A Long Loneliness, her autobiography, kind of an autobiography. But she found God in Jesus Christ, a woman who took God seriously at God's word when asked his followers to serve the least of their brothers and sisters and to love their enemy. And love of enemy was also part of her life, as was Gandhi. Day said that her life really began when she met Peter Morin in 1932. Peter had been looking and praying for someone who could implement his vision, someone who could help him reform society and the church. He had a big vision as well as a smaller vision. Once he met Dorothy Day, he knew that he had met his partner and his helper. He shared with her his vision of a society where workers would be co-creators with God through their work, rather than the alienated and impoverished cogs in a wheel they had become. He taught her that the gospel, with its teaching on love and the works of mercy, had the power to bring this about, and showed her how the church was keeping all this power under lock and key. And Peter used to say, we blow the dynamite at the church and bring out the spiritual and corporal works of mercy and the Catholic social teaching or Christian social teaching. He wanted to blow that dynamite, the power of the gospel, Catholic Christian social teaching, and of course, committed Catholics and others could build a just society within the shell of the old. Together, Dorothy and Peter founded the Catholic Worker Movement, started the newspaper, the Catholic Worker, and open houses of hospitality. They also opened commune farms and worked tirelessly for and in the movement for peace, justice, and fair labor practices. Both were deeply committed to the gospel way of life, to prayer, and both placed great value on community. Community was where she lived, as well as the but community for her was also the whole world, because nobody was excluded. Day had a great love for the poor. There she met Christ. She relied on the providence of God. Creation spoke to her of God. She was a devoted mother and grandmother, even in the midst of so much around her. She was a devoted practicing Catholic who cherished the power of the sacraments, intercession, interceding with the saints, daily prayer, spiritual reading, and of course, writing. As she spoke of herself as a flawed human being, she often struggled with all of this. Dorothy Day loved the church. However, that did not keep her from criticizing it, challenging the hierarchy and defying the power, the powerful Cardinal Spellman, in a nice way, of course. She was not kind to the Sunday Catholic people. She said, "Why do you sit here? There's too much to do." Believing in the gospel and Catholic social teaching, Dorothy Day was a pacifist. She called it, she called it the folly of the cross, the same folly that led Jesus to his crucifixion and his refusal to use violence. The Catholic worker movement would pay a price for its pacifism, especially in World War II and the Spanish War. In fact, the first Catholic worker houses in Akron was closed because members joined the armed forces. I've learned that as when I came here. I did not know there was a Catholic worker before us. She not only wrote and spoke against any violence, but took to the streets to protest. Her first protest was during the raids I wasn't here, so I don't know about them. I didn't experience them. But when they asked people to take shelter, she knew that taking shelter was no defense. She also knew that it was scaring people. And so she went out in the park and sat on the bench. And other people joined her, and they all got arrested, of course. Her last protest and arrest was with Cesar Chavez in California. She was then 76 years old and in failing health. And there's an absolutely wonderful photograph that we have of her sitting there with two deputies on each side of her. And she's looking at them like, well, what are you going to do? Yeah. So she was a gusty woman. However, when she died, she left no specific instructions for carrying on her work. She believed it's in the gospel, the teaching of the church, and in the hands of God. She was not keen on talk of her being a saint, commenting, "Don't call me a saint. I don't want to be dismissed that easily." Yet the process has begun to declare her a saint for our times. On her simple gravestone, the inscription reads, "Deo gratias," thanks be to God. Now, about our local Catholic worker. We, the Catholic worker, and there are many of us, celebrates 20 years on Princeton Street. The we of Catholic worker are many and varied. Dreamers and activists, ordinary and sometimes extraordinary. Long and short term, live-ins and visitors, generous with our time, talent, and treasure. We care about our neighbor, our city, our country, and our world, and of course our church. We pray, work, laugh, cry, get exhausted, suffer, and even at times causes other people to suffer. being human, but mainly we are serious about following Jesus' way of being in our world. So we try to live out the gospel as Dorothy Day and Peter Moran has taught. Just to add, we have no paid staff. We have our financial income is from donations. Thank you very much. We are well taken care of. And even we live not just with enough, but in abundance. During those 20 years, we have learned that providing help to others is not complicated. Living a simple lifestyle is not deprivation, but actually gives freedom to an otherwise complicated lifestyle. To be open to others is the basis for forming great friendships, and that we have. That we don't know everything, but we can learn from others. But we do know something, and we can learn from our experience. We do not have to be experts as long as we are willing to learn, and the people are pretty much the same no matter where they come from. Above all, we know that God is with us in all times and all places. We are grateful for those who had the vision to begin the Catholic Worker in Akron. To name a few, they are Pat and Mary Murray, who gave us our first down payment for our house, and their family, Anya Donovan, Joe May, Betty Wilmot, Frank Lesko, and myself. When we went to look for a house, we had no money, but we did have a vision, and the money came. We're supported by many individuals and groups in Akron. St. Bernard's, St. Hilary's, St. Paul, Queen of Peace in North Canton, and many other parishes. Of course, we are supported by the Sisters of Charity, who pay for me to be there. I think they want me to get out of their hair. St. Vincent, parishioners, other Catholic worker houses, and even the Pennsylvania Brotherhof, that is Anabaptist community in one we know is in Pennsylvania. The Mennonite Church was part of us and helped us. And like I said, the Sisters of Charity and the Dominican Sisters of Peace. One of our intentions was to be good neighbors. We have been, and we are grateful to our neighbors also, who have befriended us, as well as enduring the traffic that often comes to our door, as well as the noise we make. And they don't complain. I think if we were in some other place, we would have been long asked to leave. But Princeton Street has not asked us. Princeton Street has changed over the years. It's especially noticeable that the drug traffic has lessened, as well as the violence that it brings. In collaboration with other groups in the neighborhood, Summit Lake is a better place to live. And it's getting better because more groups are coming in. Not just because of us, but more groups are coming in. I'd like to tell you a couple of stories about our beginning. We said we got a house. The house was not in good repair. And so we kind of moved in with the Murrays that were close by, and then we went by day to the house to clean it up and fix it and so on. And one of those times, we had a knock on the door, and there were a couple there, and they said, it's getting very cold. It was in November, and we have no place to go. So we said, well, we're not even ready. And they said, well, do you have a bed? And we said, well, do? Yeah. Well, that's enough for us. It's better than being out on the street. And we said, okay, we can move in, but you have to take the house the way it is. So they said, we'll help you. So this couple, they were there working, and they asked us, don't you eat here? Don't you have any food? And we said, no, we don't, you know. And so that couple went out and got us food. And so our first meal there was actually from our guests. Yeah. Another time we got a donation of corn, fresh corn. And we said, well, that's wonderful, except we don't have any place to boil it or cook it. So we put it in a pot, and we said, we'll go down the street, and the first person we see on the porch, we're going to ask them if they would mind preparing the corn for us. So we went down the street, and we saw a woman on the street, and we said, well, I'm so-and-so, and we're fixing up the house, we don't have any place. Would you mind doing the corn for us? And she looked at me, and she said, well, yeah, you know. And so that she prepared the corn for us. So that's how really that we were able to, we were started to building up neighbors. But they came to us too, you know. Later on, they came to us, and they were hopefully at all times received. Then what of our guests? There's no real counting has taken place. We just know that there have been hundreds. They have come from Akron, Summit County, Stark, Medina, Portage, and others. They have come from Mexico, Canada, Central and South America, Puerto Rico, Africa, Vietnam. They stayed for days, weeks, months, and years. They came with their stories, their sorrows, their gifts, their talents, their hopes, and their dreams. Many became citizens, graduated from university. Others passed through without much change in their lives. Some got deported. Our goal was to be there, to be here, to provide friendship, encouragement, support, prayer, and above all, respect, acceptance, and love. This often came in the form of a comfortable, safe home, meals, help find work, a trip to the dentist, bus tickets, some advice, lots of prayer, and talk. I will never claim that we did this with great success, but we gave the best we could. We could do so much more because we relied on the generosity of many others, many ordinary people, and God's grace. We were saved from the inconvenience of having to carry out the rules and regulations of government agencies. Each and every guest left us a gift, taught us something, even when that something was very hard to take. We are very grateful for the opportunity to live such a rich and blessed life. Catholic Worker initiated the Peter Morin Center, and we have people from the Peter Morin Center here today. Tom, and do you want to stand up? Yeah. And they work at the Peter Morin Center. Dawn, yeah. Some people over there, okay? Yeah. Yeah. Now it's his own organization. We would dream of other outreaches. What we need is volunteers. The biggest challenge is the deportations that we have experienced. I'm not able really to talk about that, so I'm going to ask Angela if you would mind saying something about the deportations that has happened, because I'll cry. And so maybe somebody else can help me.
Mm-hmm. I should take the microphone back to her.
Okay.
Thanks, sister. What can I tell you? You all saw Bill Gordon from the Fidelity Building, and you saw the Lord about the she came home one day to find out her father was jailed. He went for his regular appointment, and it was, and I've said this a million times, the inauguration was on a Friday, the inauguration appointment was on a Monday. Everyone that reported, as they normally do, on that Monday, was jailed. They were handcuffed, shackled, and a rod put through the chains. She came home to find out her dad was in prison. Sister Catherine, the cavalry, came in and spent time with his wife, Pamela. And then they were able to get an agreement that if he was willing to deport, that they would allow him 30 days. He signed. And once you sign self-deport, you can't come back for 10 years. We needed to come up with 4 airline tickets because he did not want to leave his family behind. Catholic Worker and Sister Catherine did that. They are in Colombia. and they struggle every day. One of the things people here in America don't realize is other countries think we're really, really rich. And therefore, if you come from America, you have everything. Yet they went there and they had nothing. It breaks our hearts to hear their stories, but I want to share a good one. We got an email from Laura, 16 years old, and her brother. They were gotten home from school, and there was a knock on the door. It was the lady with the baby. She said, "I need milk for my baby." Laura brought them in the house. She and her brother, Juan Pablo, got them some food. With the woman was her mother and another child. They shared information, they shared phone numbers, and then as they went on their way, they packed up some food for them, and Laura wrote, "I couldn't have done this without Catholic Worker." So thank you for everybody who contributes. Everything you contribute, whether it's coming to spend an hour at the house, whether it's any donation, is used to help people that are still suffering because of, they're not recognized as people. So thank you.
Because because there isn't an alternative for the undocumented, those that are come in as refugees, they can go to the International Institute, and there are other options for them, and they have help from the government. How Catholic Worker got involved with that is that we had many people coming into Akron at the time that we started Catholic Worker, that they were the first generation. So they came to Akron, they really did not have a place. They didn't have work. They came with who they are, with very little else. And so we were able to do outreach for them. And since I had been in El Salvador and, you know, knew a lot of the Central America and spoke Spanish, that we were able to reach out to them and help them. But they're not the only guests that we've had. However, we got very involved in their lives. And to see them, the deportation sometimes, I can say, we need to have borders. You know, all of this that I can say we can agree on. But the way they're treated, if somebody that you know and love and know what a good person that they are and how they have given their life and they're treated like they are terrible murderers or whatever, and that then that's very hard. So I'm glad that Angela helped me out, because it's very hard to talk about individuals that we knew and loved to be treated in this way. But it's part of Catholic Worker to reach out to those who are the most marginalized, and definitely that is one group. There are very few coming into Accra now from the places that they came from in Mexico, especially Chiapas. But we have had a good number, and know the people that have hit the papers. Leonor, that's in Cleveland Heights, in Sanctuary, and other people that have... And Angela, part of a group that has developed out of the experience of the deportations to help those who are in that process, okay, and to advocate for them and to help them in any way. Because whenever anybody leaves the family, father or mother, that means their children left behind, their wife left behind, there are jobs, money that has income. We have a woman that her husband was deported. She has four children. She cannot go out to work with a baby and all of that, so that she was invited in to be with us. And of course, like many of the women, she is just a wonderful person, you know, and takes good care of her family with the help that we can are able to give her. Now, as we look back, we're also looking forward. So our intentions and our hope is that we stay here. But a transition is necessary. I'm one of the old guard. I am the old guard, the only one left of the old guard right now. And I'm getting to a place where I am definitely need to have younger people coming behind me, not just, well, all kinds, and we have a lot, but people who live in the house, and to accompany our guests, because most of what happens on a daily and everyday life in our homes. The help that we can give, they need to have another generation to help them because they don't have that, being first generation immigrants. Catholic worker needs not be the same as it was. It needs to go forward and say, what are the needs of today? How can we serve? How can we be in service to others at this time, in this place, at this moment? And how are we best able to do it? Most of the time, if we're there, the people who come to us tell us and show us what we need to do. Because when we started Catholic Worker, we had no idea where it was going. All we knew is that we wanted to have a place, we wanted to be there, we wanted to be present. Okay. And from there, then, as we reached out and as people came to us, just showed us how to do it and what to do. So we learned as we went along, and with the help of many. That's all I have to say about that, but there might be some questions. So if anybody has a comment or a question, not just me, but others will be able maybe to have an answer.
Can we take a break?
Okay.
Thank you so much, sister. Lots of food for thought. I think that probably most of us learned some more things and are probably encouraged to look a little bit more into the life, writings, and work of Peter Morin and Dorothy Day. Please take a moment to write down questions and hold them up in the air if you have some, and some members of the First Friday Club board will pick those up. So if you have questions, please hold those up for us so that we can collect them. Our next First Friday Club will be here at Tangier on Friday, February 2nd, for a presentation by Jesuit Father Peter Neely, whose topic will be Let Us Welcome, Protect, Promote, and Integrate Our Brothers and Sisters. If you're listening to the podcast of this on our website, we invite you to join us in person. This will be out on the website, so this is for the folks who are listening, not you folks who are here. You can make reservations in three ways. You can send a check for $20 to the First Friday Club, 795 Russell Avenue, Akron 44307. You can call our phone number, 330-535-7668 each month, or online our website using the Eventbrite program. If you sign up on a monthly basis, please let us know by the Tuesday before the Friday talk. Please consider signing up for a yearly. We have 1 month out of the way, but we do have those forms out there, and we also have 6 month and multiple presentation packages that do save you a little bit of money. Brochures for the 2018 program are available at the registration table, as well as our subscription forms for 2018. You can hear a podcast of previous speakers' presentations by logging into our website. Please consider recommending the First Friday Club of Greater Akron to friends and encourage them to join you. If you're not on our mailing list, take time to fill out some information and give it to us at the exit table. We'd also like to remind you to drop these off at the front table, and also that there are some other handouts for the Catholic Worker, and I think several others, handouts to pick up at the table if you are interested in those. Right now, I'd like to... Did I miss any announcements? I think I got all of them. Okay. I'd also like to, again, thank our out front crew, Carol Scalf, our volunteer office manager, Rita Berkeley, and Jackie Vigno, who are your friendly greeters and keep track of who's here and isn't here out front. So we'd like to thank them again. Especially Carol, she puts in lots and lots of hours for very little, or as we would say, zero compensation. So, I'd like to recognize first-time attendees. Please stand. First-time attendees, please stand up. Thank you so much for coming, and please come back. Normally, we would have students from our local high schools, and we particularly wanted them to be here to hear Sister to get some of those younger folks fired up about Catholic Worker. But of course, the holiday and the weather have kept them away, so unfortunately, they're not with us. I'd like to recognize the board members of the First Friday Club. Please stand. Now for questions and answers. You're back on, Sister. They'd like just a basic description of what your facility is like how many bedrooms, how many folks can you handle, how does all that work?
We have three houses on Princeton Street. One house is occupied by volunteers, and she's supposed to be going to be here today, but something must have come up. She's sick, yes, and so is her son. We have two that have guests. The capacity varies depending on the needs of the people that are there. At times we have, right now we have three adults and 8 children. Sometimes the 8 children goes to 10. Sometimes we have another mom and her son that stays with us. So it does vary. That's what we have at the moment. Because of the needs of one of our families, we're not going to put somebody else in there with them. The needs and the need is pretty great, including medical. So that's for them right now. So we do vary. Like I said, we never really kept count. Now, when we had all Hispanics in the house, we had double. I hope there's nobody in here from the health department or the building department. Because I don't think they'd be real happy about it. But it worked, and it worked for short periods of time until they were able to find a place. We actually have had people come directly to our house and slept on the floor. You know, that's not normal. If we have children in the house, then we're very careful as to who else we bring in. Because the children all have a lot of needs, and we are want to be very sure that anybody who comes in is going to be a good person to be there. So we have to think about how many do we have and how who we can take in and what are the needs of the people that are there. Also, if when there are a lot of medical and other trauma, we as volunteers has a lot more to do. Because there are lots of appointments, there is lots of medical needs, and those kind of things that takes up a lot of time and energy. So we just have to say it varies according to the needs of our guests. But we have had a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Here's your opportunity, sister. How do we volunteer? Who do we talk to? Do we go online? Do you have a website? Do you have a phone number? Do you have an interview process? Please let us know. So somebody out there is ready. So if you want to tell them or if you have somebody else, let's hear how we volunteer.
Sandra.
You can talk to me. You can talk to any of the people here that are with us. Sandra does some of our technology piece. I cannot do it. And I'm not very interested in doing it, but we do have somebody to do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Hmm. Currently, you may call down at the Peace House. And if you want the number, I can give that to you. It's 384-1112. It's real easy. Sube, my voice probably.
Yeah.
You can find us there. We do have a website that does have the address and the phone number on it, and it is being renovated right now to accommodate emails and people of interest in volunteering. And we have been looking for volunteers, especially someone who would like to live in, all right? And that has been a topic of discussion at CORE and with the board. And I would just say try to contact one of us or try to use the email that you can see online right now. It does work. We do get mail from there. But we have a better system going in. And I don't remember any other questions there. Thank you.
There's some information in the newsletter.
Newsletter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay,
thank
no problem.
You. We also have had intern. And I'd like Isabel to say a couple of words because interns has been very important for us. Not only that they work, but that they bring us really good energy and really good ideas also. Because
what's the source of your intern?
This intern came from Walsh University.
Hi, I'm Isabel Lukowski. My internship at Council for Worker Akron lasted from late August to my graduation date, which was mid-December. I graduated in clinical psychology, and my internship has definitely been a place of development and transformation. My background also, I'm a Blue and Global Scholar at Walsh, which is a program that helps find a solution to a greater world issue. And our issue was peace, reconciliation, justice, with a focus on genocide. So dealing with the migrant crisis that's happening all over the world, and particularly Akron has a great focus in it as well. This was a great fit for me in learning about social services, counseling, human development, and all of that. And I'm glad that I got to have an experience here that I'm going to continue with. And also just keep learning, and they've definitely accepted me as part of their family. So thank you.
Considering Catholic Workers' emphasis on person before profit, have you received any corporate business support to help you promote this ideal? And if so, who are they?
That's easy to answer. We don't. We have not.
Sad.
Yeah. And we haven't gone out to look for it either. We have got money from like business, but the business that we know the people, and we know that they have fair practices. We know how they operate. And we know also that they're generous with us. But if indeed we did get an offer, it would have to be from a place where we can agree with their ethics. And if you know anybody, just let us know.
This one may take you a while. How can individual parishes encourage and motivate Sunday Catholics to live out the gospel and be supportive of Catholic worker.
If I knew that, I'd have my family on board. I really believe that exposing young people, children and young people, to another world that they don't know about, to come the so-called over the tracks, and to get to know other people, to not just, they should be going to church, they should be praying, period. But they should go farther than that. They should really know that, how do I put this into practice? Any time that you can expose a young person to another group of people different from them, or economically or racially or whatever, it's going to help them then to see that their faith is not a private practice. Their faith is a lived practice. And the more you emphasize that, I think the better. Now, doesn't always work. Like I said, if it always worked, my whole family would be here, but they're not. Yeah. And what else can I say except that to really do the practice as well as the knowledge? Yeah. Christianity or any other religion is not just what I know in my head, but what I do with what I know and what I believe.
Thank you, sister.
You're welcome.
Again, we want to thank sister. Make sure you see her to volunteer. Grab one of their brochures and get the phone numbers to volunteer once again. They welcome your help in small ways or big ways, so please try to make yourself available to them. It's my pleasure now to introduce a new friend of the First Friday Club, Dean Robinson, who will lead us in our closing prayer. Let us pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, light of our hearts, guide us. Show us the way to help those who you place before us. If you want us to help them, Lord, show us how. We want to live according to your will and become more like you. You, Lord, are the greatest healer the world has ever known. Please grant us the gift of healing in your name. Lord, we are willing. Our hearts surrender to you, and we want to live as you wish us to live. We want to be a blessing to those around us, helpers to those in need, healers for those in pain, through the power of your name. Without you, we are nothing, but with you we are able. Without you, we are weak, but with you we have hope. It is our hope, Heavenly Father, to be of service to you and help those in need, to be servants to humankind. Guide us, protect us, and show us what you want us to do and how to do it. We trust you, Father, and believe you have called us for a purpose. Show us what that purpose is and let us live according to your will. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you. Thank you so much, Dean. I want to thank everyone for coming. We look forward to seeing you here next month on February 2nd, and please come back and please bring a friend. Drive safely, stay warm, and safe. Thank you.